This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Brad Lewis.
And I'm Eve Nanez. We want to remind you that this program broadcasts from the rightful lands of the Tiwa people.
Tonight on GJ, we focus on community health and safety.
That's right. We bring you an interview with Andrea Romero, Program Manager for the Immunization Program at the Infectious Disease Bureau, Public Health Division.
And an interview with Kateri Chino and Josiah Concho with CARES Community Health.
March 8th is International Women's Day. To honor and celebrate, we bring you the poem Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou.
And stay tuned for more upcoming community events and vaccine equity updates.
Let's start off our evening with some music. Here's Low High by Indigenous musical artist Def I featuring A. Billy Free.
Stargazing, outer body constellations, caught in cosmic contemplations, having low-key conversations, got it thoughts for operations, fast and slow speed automations, abalone, got creations, underneath the aqua basins, all aboard, we all awaken, far away, in a dark oasis, uncharted places, armored spaceships, guard us and take us far away, beyond Mars's basis, earth shapes and it orchestrates, heard it rain, is a chorus place, turn the page to the portal gate, I swerve away into the open space.
Andrea Romero is the program manager for the immunization program at the Infectious Disease Bureau, Public Health Division. She has been working with the New Mexico state government for over 20 years.
Tonight, we share an interview with her where she discusses her work, the effects of COVID-19 on our community, and vaccine hesitancy.
Now, here's my co-host, Eve Nanez, speaking with Andrea Romero.
This is Eve Nanez with Generation Justice. I'm speaking with Andrea Romero, the Program Manager for the Immunization Program at the Infectious Disease Bureau/Public Health Division. She has been employed with the New Mexico state government for over 20 years. Andrea, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So in my work career, I have been with the Immunization Program now 10 years. So like you mentioned, that is with public health. I am the immunization program manager and I oversee different sections within the program, which is the vaccines for children section, adult vaccine program, our New Mexico statewide immunization information system, which is our vaccine registry where you would obtain your vaccine records. And we do have a finance unit in our quality improvement section. So we have multiple sections within the immunization program that all coordinate together to deploy vaccine to the population here in New Mexico. And previously to working with the New Mexico Department of Health, I was with New Mexico Department of Public Safety. So there is a trend that I keep within my state government career, which is public. So it's public health, public safety, and so being from New Mexico, I am from Santa Fe, and that has been key with me in my career is helping the public. So keeping within those standards of seeing where I could be of assistance and getting efforts out in the community has been a priority for me. So looking out for the well-being of everyone in the state, from children to adults, looking at it in an aspect as a family. So everyone that I'm helping, I'm thinking of, you know, those newborns that come into your family, those siblings, your parents, your grandparents, because there's, you know, that great amount of population in the state. So that is one area that I feel like I take that personally when I'm helping and outreaching as a whole, that this is my community. And coming from a family of strong women, that's something that I take on as a lead that I want to continue as a tradition in my family alone. I, you know, compare a lot of efforts that my mother and my grandmother have done and a lot of work and efforts that make them successful. And I'm like, well, I can do that too. It's one of those areas that I feel proud of, and I want to succeed and be a role model even within my program, whereas we have a majority of woman-based as well. So I like to see that there's leadership growing with women, and it also reflects the care that is going out to the community as well.
That's awesome. I really love the intention that you have within your role and your intention of community care. Can you talk to us a little bit more about your role at the Infectious Disease Bureau / Public Health Division with the immunization program?
Sure. So a lot of my role is making sure that there is vaccine equity in the state. So we are a universal vaccine purchase state, which means that we distribute vaccine to children statewide, regardless of their insurance status. So of course, you know, they have insurance, they're covered, but we also want to help those families that are uninsured or underinsured. So we're helping everyone in the state. And so in my role, I make sure that there's no vaccine access barriers. We do have a lot of rural area in the state, and we want to make sure that we are considering those areas and we are hearing from those areas as well. As, you know, there's the big metro cities like Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Las Cruces that have access, there are those areas in the state that may not even have a pharmacy. So when I hear of that, you know, I think of, well, what can we do from our side to make sure vaccine is getting into those communities? I like to mention, you know, because the COVID pandemic, it was, you know, a bad thing that happened, but we want to remember all the good that happened from the pandemic. And a lot of that good that happened was really hearing from those communities, really building a lot of partnerships in the community and knowing what was the need. So a lot of the need was, well, we need someone to come out and help us, you know, whether it would be the access of not having a facility that was distributing vaccine, or maybe folks that were homebound. So we developed a lot of plans to have our mobile vaccine team be able to go out there and find those folks that were having those access barriers, and even just attend events that were in those communities to be like, we're here to assist you. So I think a lot of the big like picture that I feel like that my job is fostering those community relations out there in the state and continuing to do that going forward. We know that that communication needs to continue, whether we're doing it from a high level from the agency's perspective, but we're also doing a trusted voices and community relations directly in the community. So within my program, I even have my staff go out to local events and talk to the community. You know, have them ask questions directly to us if they are interested, they're up to date on their vaccine, what are the current recommendations, and just have a good conversation in general. There's a lot of areas in New Mexico from our side, like for vaccine records that maybe other states don't even have now. And we're one of the few that have a public portal that you can view your vaccine record. So you could always obtain it through your phone or anything like, you know, your laptop, your iPad, every device you have. So we always want to convey that latest communication to the public when we're out there to say, hey, you can always get this at your hand's reach, anything to make it easier for folks, but then also to see like, well, maybe I need to schedule an appointment, things like that. So so right now, I mean, I oversee to make sure that we sustain the vaccine inventory for distribution out for the state, but really an important aspect is doing our outreach into the communities to make sure that we are communicating statewide.
You've been with the Department of Health for several years. Can you tell us a little bit about how the pandemic and COVID-19 has impacted the importance of the Infectious Disease Bureau?
So I would say, you know, we had, from my perspective, we had a small group, you know, that we would communicate out to. We would do our typical outreach efforts And when the pandemic hit, we knew we couldn't do it alone. And that's, I still say that every day. You know, it took a village and more to cover the state, in which the state was very responsive. New Mexico alone, I mean, was leading the way in the country for going through all the phases and getting vaccinated as quick as possible. And so, you know, for the majority part, you know, New Mexico is a vaccine pro state. And so that assisted a lot when, you know, the vaccine rollout first started in the pandemic. But to get there, we needed a lot of partnerships in the state. So, I mean, from, you know, extra staffing assistance that came from all aspects, from, you know, National Guard, community organizations, volunteers, and other, you know, state agencies where we may not have looked at collaborating before, where, you know, it was like an eye opener of like, we could be working with each other going forward. You know, there's a lot more that we could be doing between all of us, that we're, you know, reaching everyone for everyone's greater well-being and reaching even more people than we did before. So I think with the pandemic and going forward, all of our thoughts, and including mine, is that, you know, with each other, we can even go further. You know, we're this huge partnership. We're a great community. We talk to each other very well. And if we stay in current communication, it lessens the misinformation that is out there. And so that's, to me, in my role, communication is number one with my staff, but it's also number one with the community. It's like you're being open and honest with the most up-to-date information that you have, that trust is strong. If that does not happen, that's where trust starts to increase. And that's very important to me, because we want to make sure that we're keeping those strong relationships with our community.
That's awesome. I really love the transparency that you have with the community and making sure that, you know, people are getting this information and that it's accurate.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I feel like there's the professional side of you, and then you're going out there in the community, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm being like, well, there's my gente. You know, you're going out there and you relate it in those ways. That's your community. You know, that's your family out there.
Exactly. Yeah. What do we need to know right now about COVID? And will you add any information that you want our listeners to know?
I could say that right now, you could see the respiratory season is in full effect. So we have COVID, flu, and RSV that are very high levels, of which was anticipated with holiday time and after holiday season, after folks have gathered together. So there is still cases that are happening, and specifically in New Mexico, we're one of the highest ratings of color right now of having these sicknesses. So it has not gone away. And we know that there's a lot of vaccine burnout that is across the country. And I would just say that COVID vaccine is still important. You know, going back to family relations, you want to protect those that are immune comparable. You know, staying up to date on the latest vaccine presentations, if you have not, is very beneficial to protect your family and friends. You know, we still think about those that are very young that you're around, but also think of those grandparents that are around you as well. You know, that's, you keep those number one in your mind of taking care of them, because they are so precious.
What are some specific considerations for New Mexico regarding vaccine equity efforts?
So right now, I mean, we're still continuing to do like our messaging of, you know, don't wait, vaccinate, you know. And that is part of being caught up in recommendations for vaccine for all age groups. So keeping up with the latest recommendation schedules is key. Seeing, you know, because with COVID, what we saw during the pandemic was a lot of appointments for well checkups. A lot of folks got behind. So the first thing that, you know, I would recommend there is checking to see if you're up to date with the vaccine in general and make those appointments. And what we're doing from our side for equity is we still have a map that we have on our website that we're showing, facilities like pharmacies, provider offices that are providing vaccine. And so if there's folks that are having struggles trying to find a location, that is a one platform where you can find assistance so you could make an appointment, because there has been a lot of changes from where there was mass events for vaccine because of the pandemic, where the transition has gone back to appointment based. So from our program and my perspective, we want to know if there's any access barriers in the community going back to that appointment-based transition as well. So that's where we continue to have mobile vaccine teams go out where there's not a great access or delays of appointments that are occurring as well. So we'll continue doing that. We continue to have our nurse call center as well, so that our hotline is still available for those that have questions of how to register for an appointment, where those locations are at, and they talk directly to a nurse rather than talking to an automated system, anything like that, because we do have a large older population in the state as well. So we always want to think of all efforts and all opportunities that are happening out there, but we do have gaps for where you can reach to either have an appointment, so with an older generation, we always want to make sure that we're promoting messaging either, still on newspapers, and you could talk to somebody directly, because not everyone is on a smart device. There's one generation that is going to be on nothing but smart devices, and then we have a whole nother one that would take great respect, just talking to somebody directly and having somebody explain directly what are the recommendations and where can I go and how can you help me. And of course, in language as well, because New Mexico is so unique that we have so many languages as well. So we do a lot of outreach in our communities, of course, for Spanish speaking, but also our tribal populations. Any messaging that we develop, we in turn are conveying to say, we can translate this for you, or you can translate it as well to make sure that we're communicating the same messaging and that, there's no confusion.
That's really cool to hear that, you're putting out this information in so many different languages, and that, the accessibility to everyone here in New Mexico is a big priority for you. In talking about efforts to get folks vaccinated and up to date on vaccinations, in your opinion, what have been some of the biggest factors in vaccine hesitancy?
Well, I would say pre-pandemic, there was a lot of influence from, I would say, like a celebrity standpoint before. And when the pandemic hit, it became more of a political standpoint. So COVID vaccine alone became very politicized. And I think, from the past years, social media wasn't such a huge influence on it, but it seemed like with the pandemic, it became a bigger influence, and good and bad. So everyone has their own opinion on what the vaccine, how it was developed, or what the vaccine will be doing. So we've heard probably every, reaction or opinion on what the COVID vaccine would do. So my like route for addressing those again is in a positive manner, but with the scientific background and the data. So where we hear, that the vaccine will do this and that, when we're seeing, we don't look directly at those negative aspects, but we look at promoting messaging of what the vaccine can do. But not only to that point, but also presenting the data of the coverage and the protection that you're getting. So we rely on a lot of data from our site. Again, not only to be checking to see the coverage levels that are happening, but also assessing, those barriers. And when we know those barriers in the state, that helps us to go out into the communities and inquire if there's an actual access barrier or if there's more questions that are out there in the communities. Because sometimes it's just providing more resources and more background on the vaccine and having that discussion. So it could be as simple as attending a town hall meeting, attending an event that's in the community, just to discuss the vaccine and how it protects you and the background of it in itself. And that alone sometimes is like the key of communicating that out, because sometimes the resource that is coming from that misinformation is met with, valid information, and that helps with a discussion. Because I always think, well, let's have a discussion and have, this change in between to see where we can have a good talk about what vaccine is. And that's really, that just helps, again, squashing any misinformation that may be out there.
What is something that we can do as the community about some of these factors of vaccine hesitancy?
I would say, the same is hearing from the community. If there is any concerns, if there's a lack of communication, how we can partner together and present that information or provide supply. That's, we want to be in the community and we do want to hear from the communities. So in New Mexico, it's unique. It's not like even our winters, even though it's snowing, it's the next day it's not. So there's always an opportunity to collaborate at an event where we're always open to anything that's going to help benefit, families and friends. So I always feel like it's like a never-ending family reunion or potluck, as long as people are gathering and able to gather, you're hearing from the community. So from our standpoint and community organizations, I think that's hand in hand. We hear from each other, we help each other, and we want to continue doing that going forward, not just during a pandemic, but for efforts going forward, for it to continue as a way of life. None of us want to go back to a pandemic again. We all want to go back to our daily routines, but we all know that we weren't going to just go back, but we want to improve going forward because you want to continue doing more in life and enjoy those times and keep expanding out and working together. I mean, there's nothing better than having those collaborations, because that always is key to me, but we cannot do it alone. It takes a village and it takes that partnership to keep the community whole.
Where can folks go to get more information about where they can get vaccinated and what kind of vaccines are available to them?
So if you go to our website, it's our dohnm.gov. That will go directly to our website, and there's our immunization page. And that also has the map of locations of where there's currently COVID and flu vaccine. But also on our immunization page, we do have sections for our Vaccines for Children program and our adult vaccine program. So we do have a vaccine all over statewide on recommendations from the CDC schedules. And we do have, under COVID, we do have COVID vaccine under our Vaccines for Children program and our Adult Bridge program as well. So a listing is on there. And we do have our current listing of school immunization entry requirements on our webpage as well. And we'll be updating that here very soon. So those are also a good reference for parents and guardians, grandparents that will be getting their children ready for the upcoming new school year in the fall. And we do have information on there that we'll be updating for our Got Shots events, that we'll be doing a lot of vaccine catch-up efforts in the summer to help families that maybe are having a hard time getting an appointment or a timely appointment, or that maybe can't go because of their work schedule. So we'll be doing a lot of outreach efforts to help the kiddos get up to date and help those families to make sure so there's no delays in enrollments or anything like that. So there's a lot of information that is currently up on our website, including vaccine coverage for kids.
Awesome. What is your core message to our community in New Mexico?
Now, I would say, I go back, New Mexico is my home. So I think of it again, like New Mexico is it's my family, it's my friends. Care for yourself, but also care for others. When you're thinking of your health, well-being, protect yourself and protect those around you. I always do the example of, in vaccine in general, but just to think with everybody and going back to the past, but think of that first time that you remembered to going to get vaccinated. Who took you to go get vaccinated? Because that was the person that cared and loved you so much, they wanted to prevent you from getting, any diseases. They protect you so much. And so remembering if it was, your mother, your father, your grandparents that took you, they cared that much about you because, that's your family. And that's the way that I think about, as the state as a whole, is protecting each other and remembering why,
I really like that, how you framed that. Is there anything else you would like to add before we start to wrap up this interview?
I would just say, there's a lot of good efforts that are happening in the state, from our community-based organization, collaborations, and just, from our staffing side, been great. I think this relationship has gotten strong and is going to continue going forward. And so what I would hope for is that we continue to build funds around these areas and that we continue to be strong partnerships in the state going forward. It has been a great use of our funds that, we were able to build a lot of these partnerships during the pandemic, and we want to continue going forward on these. So as many opportunities as we can, and actually, also celebrating those successes, because a lot of the times we're so busy that we stop and recognize a lot of those successes and the hard work that went into it. It was tremendous, and everyone should be proud.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for being here with us today and for talking with us about where the community can access resources, about vaccines and other immunizations, about the work that you and the Infectious Disease Bureau have been doing, how you protected us, and just making sure that our community is as healthy as can be. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrea, for your long-term dedication and commitment to public health and safety. Your role is crucially important and needed. Thank you for making sure everyone has fair access to COVID treatment.
Our next song is about the beauty of the land that we are standing on. Here is New Mexico by the great late Wake Self.
New Mexico, home is where the heart is. New Mexico, never forget where I started. They say it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. But I'm at where I'm from, and when I leave, I'm coming back. New Mexico, home is where the heart is. New Mexico, never forget where I started. They say it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. But I'm at where I'm from, and when I leave, I'm coming back. New Mexico, where most of my family stay. I got friends in Gallup, Portales, Corrales, out to Santa Fe, Carlsbad, Alamogordo, Rigadoso, Farmington, Las Lunas, Las Cruces, and Carrizozo.
Let's continue our night for community health. Next, we bring you an interview with Kateri Chino and Josiah Concho with Caris Community Health.
Caris Community Health is focused on reaching out to local Indigenous tribes and helping them combat COVID-19. They provide vaccine equity training and immunization curriculums and discuss vaccine challenges.
Kateri Chino, Project Coordinator, and Josiah Concho join us to discuss their work and the importance of vaccine equity as part of the Better Together Coalition.
Here is Jacqueline Nguyen speaking with Kateri and Josiah. We hope you enjoy it.
This is Jacqueline Nguyen with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Project Manager Kateri Chima and Project Coordinator Josiah Concho with Caris Community Health. Kateri and Josiah, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you.
Please tell us more about yourselves.
Thank you. It's great to be here. My name is Kateri Chino. I'm from the Pueblo of Acoma. I am new to the Caris Community Health team. I have been here for a few months, so still getting my feet wet in the ground here with Caris Community Health. I have background in project management and development with tribal communities, victim advocacy with the state. I've worked with victims of violent crimes, and I am a coach over at Del Norte High School, the head coach for the volleyball team.
You, Josiah?
Hello, hi. My name is Josiah Concho. So I do have numerous positions as a project coordinator and project manager with Caris Community Health. So for the past few years, I have worked with Caris for about a good 4 years now. And primarily, I was supporting a lot of the nicotine use prevention and control contracts with the state in the realms of secondhand smoke protections in tribal communities and New Mexico young adults on tobacco cessation. In addition to that, I have provided support with Indian Affairs Department in terms of tobacco cessation, of course, tobacco control and prevention programs that they did support. So I do have multiple experience in tobacco cessation to field and range into food sovereignty projects with Caris Community Health. In addition to this year, I have been supporting Kateri with her vaccine equity efforts and her project currently this fiscal year. So it's definitely been a good and exciting year. But again, thank you for having us both speak with you.
Thank you so much. So tell us more about Caris Community Health and your mission.
Yes, so Caris Community Health is under the Caris Group of Companies. So Caris Group of Companies is run by Caris Consulting. So there is multiple companies, including TJC Construction, Native Ed Materiel, and Caris Real Estate, and of course, Caris Community Health itself. So Kateri serves as the program manager for the Vaccine Equity Project. We do have a program manager too as well, and her name is Leslie Meyer, who supports and oversees the Caris Community Health programs and projects. And for, again, like I said earlier, we did support the nicotine use prevention projects. But in terms of our primary mission and values, Kateri, do you want to share that?
What we strive to do is to ensure health equity in tribal communities through best practices, outreach and engagement, self-determined education, partnerships, and sustainability. So we do a lot of health outreach and education in tribal communities. We're able to take into consideration how each tribal entity differs from one another and how they utilize their culture to engage their efforts in health outreach.
In addition to that, Caris Community Health does have multiple capabilities that they can support with tribal communities. And of course, like Kateri said, within the mission, we do want to provide those types of services, including on the rounds of education, prevention, outreach, technical assistance, planning, partnership building, resource development, communication, and facilitation through as well. But most importantly, we want to emphasize the use of cultural language and recognize all the tribal communities in the state of New Mexico.
Thank you so much. It looks like you guys do so much for the community. And I want to say thank you for like the work that you guys do. So Caris Community Health is part of the Better Together Coalition. What can you tell us about your vaccine equity work?
Yes. So when the project started with NMDUH, we did start the Vaccine Equity Project in fiscal year 2023 when Caris was awarded opportunity to support vaccine equity efforts in tribal communities. So I will start off with, in the state of New Mexico, there are 22 federally recognized tribes, that being Navajo Nation, Hickory Apache, Mescalero Apache, and all 19 Pueblos, which of course can go into different names. So, but there is 19 of them. So total, there's 22 recognized tribes. And for our project, we actually currently support the vaccination efforts in the 19 Pueblos and including Mescalero Apache and Hickory Apache. So Navajo Nation does have their own vaccine equity efforts, but we both support each other's initiatives, and we are both actually part of the Better Together Coalition. So the organization that leads that is called COPE, and so they lead the initiatives with the Navajo Nation. But of course, we're talking about our vaccine equity efforts. So again, I just wanted to share that because there are so many communities that we are working with and communicating with, and I do want to acknowledge that each community is entirely different. There's a different plays that come into it too as well, including environmental differences, communication, language differences, and also...
administrative and structural differences.
Yes, that too as well. But in terms of vaccine equity efforts, as of this fiscal year, Kateri and I have been able to meet with different travel community partners to learn, to hear their stories, to hear their experiences, meet their teams, meet their staff, meet their facilities, and kind of understand what they've been through with during the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, what barriers, what challenges they experienced, but also to hear the successes that they partake in, what they achieved, and how they learn from it too as well, and what they're implementing currently right now to grow their programs, enhance their projects, but also most importantly, take care of their people. Within a lot of the Pueblo communities and Apache communities, there's a huge concentration on the people, meaning like the respect, the love that they have for each community member, whether it's with the youth, the adults, the elderly, but including people who are dealing with certain things, whether it's with mental health or who need extra support in terms of healthcare or anything like that. So this project is a huge learning opportunity, not for only us, but also for New Mexico Department of Health, our The Better Together Coalition. It has been a great opportunity for everyone to learn what each travel community has done and what each community is doing and what they have planned for their community. So Kateri can go on to in terms of the vaccine equity part of it, but that's the part I want to lay a foundation in, and how we see this project and how it's an opportunity for us to continue and engage in terms of meeting equity efforts. And of course, with how we are going about this project, we are definitely understanding there is also a huge component that's missing within tribal communities. And whether it's just access to education, access to information, access to vaccinations, information on how the proper protocol policies should need to be in place. So, do you have anything else to add to transitioning from that?
You covered a lot of it, Josiah. So there's really not much to add. I mean, in speaking with these different tribes, we're able to understand the different barriers that they have and what their limits are in moving forward. So as far as like with the technical assistance, that's some of the things that we're going to be able to help each of these tribes with. So our goal right now is to meet with these tribes, get a more solid idea of where they're coming from, like Josiah said, the barriers that they've been facing, the successes that they've had, and how we're going to be able to utilize their wins to address some of their barriers and where we can interject with some technical assistance.
Why is this effort important for tribal communities and beyond that?
But one thing we do want to share throughout the whole state of New Mexico, not just within tribal communities, but there is a huge viewpoint of vaccination deserts, meaning that vaccinations are very limited in a way, like maybe one tribal community may have about 4,000 tribal community members, and maybe a clinic, a very small clinic that maybe only has 100 vaccines, whether it's with COVID or RSV or the flu. So if you really think about it, there's only 100 people are going to be receiving the vaccination, which is very sad in a viewpoint of a community that's so tight-knit. Like, it's in a way, it is sad. And that's the unequitable part that we're trying to address, that there is a need and there's a huge push that everyone's health is important within the tribal communities, whether it's young, old, adults, or even just and for future generations. I guess that's nothing I should mention. Within the tribal communities, there is a huge concern, not just for the present and who's here, but also concern for future generations, meaning the children that are yet to come, and how they're going to live and how they're going to see and how they're going to feel when they come about within the efforts, initiatives that are currently going on. And so that's kind of what, the vaccination, the need for it, why we want to share, why it's so important for this project to continue on to ensure that there is going to be that support and later on, not just now, but in the future. And then to pull that back into meeting the importance of the health equity part within tribal communities is understanding that the project is designed to meet and understand the tribal communities that are currently here and who we're working with, and to continue the project initiatives that they currently have and to grow.
How can the community get involved with your work?
The way we have been working is reaching out to tribal communities directly, whether it's with tribal leadership, tribal department leadership, healthcare, community health representatives, community health workers, behavioral health workers. So we are working and communicating with all these different people that are involved, organizations, departments that are involved. So it's so much, again, we are also breaking down those barriers of, for example, just meeting directly with leadership, meeting directly with directors. We want to learn and meet with everyone, which again comes from one of our values is back to that understanding for one of those tribal communities, which they use, Trotes at Mahopa. Again, that power of respect and love, adoration for people is what we're doing too as well. Because during the COVID-19, the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of communities, departments, people worked together. It wasn't just a healthcare system. It was the engineering department. It was the cafeterias. It was the food distribution centers. It was the libraries. It was the schools. It was also just community health. That was all those different things were all involved. And that's who we are communicating with. That's who we're speaking with. And that's how we were kind of learning the dynamics, the change, the shift within each tribal community. It wasn't just from one department. It was everyone. Everyone was involved in different areas, different ways. But to answer your question in terms of how the communities can help, which I'm assuming is going to be from the perspective of tribal communities. A lot of tribal communities are doing a very good job. They're meeting the needs of their people. They're hearing their problems, changes, and also successes, understanding that, learning it, and they're doing an amazing job for their people. So a lot of tribal communities are, like I said, are different in different settings, different places. And that's the kind of the beauty of it too, in a way, because again, every tribal community is different. Everyone's response is different. Everyone's needs are different. So with that, I really think a lot of tribal communities are continuing growing, are continuing to learn, and are continuing to engage and find new opportunities to improve, enhance, and also just grow their tribal community in various ways.
The communities can get involved in our work just by reaching out and staying engaged. Like we had mentioned before, a lot of these communities are pretty tight-knit communities and respond well to their own public health organizations within their tribe. So when the public health entity within each tribal community is working well with us as partners, then we're able to assist each tribal community. So them staying engaged, having open lines of communication with each other, asking for the assistance that they would like for us to provide, allows for us to continue to provide and meet the efforts of our program and the needs of those populations.
Where can people go to learn more about Caris Community Health?
So Caris Community Health does have a website, which is cariscommunityhealth.com. On that webpage, it does have our past projects, our current projects, and just initiatives that we are currently doing. So they can access that to just learn more about Caris Community Health. And in addition to the website, there's also our mission, our team, and including a contact sheet that they can reach out to us if they want to learn or to partner and collaborate. And of course, our website and our program is still growing. It's still improving in various ways. So we're growing. And of course, if they're trying to get in contact with us individually in parts of the project, Kateri is serving as the primary contact holder for the vaccine equity initiatives and outreach. So her email and office line phone number can definitely be shared if anyone's interested in engaging with the project. And also, I am definitely available for contact outreach. So if anyone needs support from either of us, our email and information will be available. So my email is jconcho, so jconcho at carisnm.com.
And my email is kchino at carisnm.com. K-C-H-I-N-O at carisnm.com. To reach me by phone is 505-314-5520, and that would be my direct line to office.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the program that we have is a pretty special program as far as reaching our vaccine equity goals, but we also want to expand Caris Community Health efforts to address other health disparities. So be on the lookout for other issues that we may be working with and working among Native American populations that's at the forefront of Caris Community Health. So that way we're also able to give back and address, like I said, the underserved and uninsured populations among the Native American communities. I think addressing health disparities is very important because a lot of these Native American communities are rural and have limited access to healthcare. So we just want to make sure that we address those vaccine deserts, that we address any other health disparities that may come up.
Thank you so much, Kateri and Josiah, for spending the time and talking about CARES community health. I find it really inspiring that you guys work, even though different tribes, communities could, they have different needs and they communicate differently. I like that your program kind of like breaks down those barriers, and that's an aid to a lot of the health issues. So I want to say thank you so much for your time, and it's been a pleasure being able to talk.
Thank you, Jacqueline, for your time. It's been a great hour having discussion with you. I know Josiah shared a lot of information, and thank you, Josiah, for everything that you've shared. But it really was great to be able to get our message across, to get what we do, what our mission is, what our vision is, and the kind of work that we do here at CARES Community Health.
Thank you again to you both for allowing us in Generation Justice to speak, share our message, and just hear what we're doing with Hmong tribal communities. But of course, definitely allowing us to share and acknowledging that each tribal community has their own tribal sovereignty, data collection sovereignty, and their own right to their own messaging and community outreach, and of course, initiatives too that they have within their tribal community. So again, thank you. And I look forward to future partnership with you all.
For Generation Justice, I'm Jacqueline.
Thank you, Kateri and Josiah. The work you both do is truly inspiring and very beneficial to our Indigenous tribes. I particularly love how you utilize the use of our Indigenous language in your mission of health outreach and prevention, along with the positive outlook. Tawae.
Our next song is Indian City by the Halusi Nation, featuring Black Bear. International Women's Day began in New York City on March 8, 1857, when female textile workers marched in protest of unfair working conditions and unequal rights for women. It was one of the first organized strikes by working women, during which they called for a shorter workday and decent wages. Tonight, in honor of Women's History Month and International Women's Day, we bring you a powerful poem, Phenomenal Woman, by the great Maya Angelou.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care. Because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. all you women and me.
Before we end our program, we have an important reminder for you.
Generation Justice, in partnership with Raices, Community Education of Traditional Medicine, are hosting Love and Light in Action gatherings every other Sunday at 1 p.m. at Tiwi Park.
That's right. Our next Love and Light gathering will be on Sunday, March 10th at 1 p.m. As we are in the midst of great challenges, we know the best medicine is to be in community.
For more information about these bi-weekly gatherings, you can visit Generation Justice on Facebook.
We hope you enjoyed this hour of community action. We'd like to thank our guests, Andre Romero, Kateri Chino, and Josiah Concho.
Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Roberta Rael and Barbara Ramirez, with production assistance from Adriana Cordova, and thank you to our interviewer, Jacqueline Nguyen.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We could not do it without you.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
We're also active on social media.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, the New Mexico Department of Health Infectious Disease Bureau through the Better Together Coalition, the McCune Foundation,
as well as Media Justice, the Santa Fe Community Foundation, and of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. I'm Eve Nanez.
And I'm Brad Lewis. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Good night, New Mexico.